Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're here every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock right here on Atlanta's Biz 1190 WAFS. Great guest today. We have Jane Ratliff. Jane is the founder and runs an organization called Blue Hair Technology Group. Jane, I love the name.
Thank you.
And welcome to Driven to Business.
Thank you.
Jane, I read with interest the story on your website of what inspired you to start this organization. I find that fascinating. Tell us about it.
Yes, my inspiration was my mother. A couple of years ago, she turned 86, and we bought her an iPad for her birthday. This is a woman who had never touched a computer in her life. Although she enjoyed the benefits of it when my father, you know, printed things off, etc. But we gave her an iPad. My brother thought it was very important that she learn how to use the iPad to communicate with family and friends and just sort of be in the know. So my gift back to her was 3 months of weekly hour-long iPad lessons because I knew she would not use the device unless someone actually taught her how to use it. And it actually was a very successful three-month period. She went from knowing nothing to, at the end of 3 months, actually being pretty proficient with it. 3 years later, she uses it every day, several times a day. Her favorite thing to do is play Words with Friends with about five friends, but she sends and receives emails now. She sends text messages to me all the time. She calls it that she sends me a message on the bubble. You know how the little text message bubble is. She likes to say that. She gets on the internet. She shops online, gets on Facebook. I mean, it really is part of her life now. And from that experience with her, I realized that there was this, just the total generation, that generation, World War II, as well as, I think they're called the sandwich generation. I'm not sure what that generation's called between baby boomers and the World War II generation, but I realize that there's just a lot of people out there that do not know how to use technology and are just not able to engage with a lot of the things that are going on.
That's an amazing story. I have a bit of a parallel story with my mom, although I didn't do it quite as well as you did. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. I read a number of years ago Bill Gates' book. I read it back in our business when the internet was just, at least to me, was just coming around, and we didn't call it the internet. If you remember, Gates in his book, we either called it the World Wide Web, that was a term we used, or Gates in his book called it the Information Superhighway. That was a term that never really caught on, but it was a term they used. And Gates always said that in his book, he talked that in order for this to become commonly popular, where everybody's using it, some kind of a killer app would have to happen, as he termed it, a killer application. And, you know, he surmised several things he thought that might be, none of which came to be. But I remember when my mom got on email, I remember thinking, that's the killer app. Because if my mom is doing this, everybody's doing it. And so I wasn't quite as aggressive or as smart, I would say, as you were about doing that. But the fact that my mom was on email was amazing. And like I say, my mom is now on Facebook. She uses an iPad.
That's terrific.
If she hears this program, she's going to wonder why I didn't invest some time teaching her how to use it. She taught herself, but her and my dad do that. And I remember thinking that the internet has arrived when my mom, and of course, none of us, I don't think, envisioned that how it was going to affect our lives the way that it has. Now you formed an organization, Blue Hair Technology Group. Tell us what you guys do.
Yes, we're a nonprofit organization, and what we do is we teach, we have instructor-led curriculum, and we teach seniors in classes how to use technology. So we go to independent living communities, continuing care retirement communities, senior centers, churches, etc., and we teach them how to use, primarily, we teach them the iPad, we teach them the iPhone, we teach them how to get on Facebook, and we teach them how to use Windows 8, but our primary, I'd say that the number one workshop that we teach is our six-week iPad basics class. It meets once a week for an hour and a half for 6 weeks, and we teach them the basics of how to use the iPad.
You know, I mentioned this to the senior adult director and the lady that's our wellness director at our church. And I got an immediate email back and said, "Ooh, that's very interesting. Let me hear about this." So
wonderful.
I sent them your information over there. I was looking on your website at the things that you guys do, and some of it is such practical stuff like how to transfer pictures to an iPad without syncing. I mean, I don't know that I know how to do that.
Yes.
And some very practical things like that, because, you know, again, dealing with my mom and with other people, you know, with the proliferation nowadays of the smartphones that we're all walking around, which double, I mentioned to you, we just got back from a trip to Alaska. This is the only camera I took because it's the best camera I own. This is not television. For those that are not seeing us, I'm raising my iPhone up as I'm saying this. But we, you know, the idea that we take our pictures, we store so much of our lives on these things, but you don't want to leave them here because, you know, we want to transfer them to more. And you know, I've learned how to do that through the years. But, there are a lot of people who don't know how to do that.
Pictures are very important. That's one of the things that is very important to the seniors are the pictures. The pictures, although they do, some of them want to take pictures. Most of them want to be able to see the pictures of their family, whether it's through Facebook, whether it's getting them through email. And then they want to know, how do they save them once they receive them?
Right.
And we do a lot in our workshops regarding if someone sends you an email, this is how easy it is to just tap on it. And you save it to your iPhone or your iPad. And then the process of moving it to your desktop is another class, but all of that, where they can store it, et cetera. But pictures are very, very important to them.
Now, these videos that you have on your site, are these just like little snippets of your class? Is that what they really are, just little snippets out of your class?
Some of them are. And actually, some of them were videos that I did for eHow. Yes, I worked with a videotographer, I think they're called, and he and I did some eHow videos based on what eHow needed. Some of those are snippets from the class. We have a couple of them out there. I just yesterday put a video out on my site showing people how to add the emoji keyboard to their iPad or their iPhone so they can add smiley faces and all those fun things when they text message and email.
I don't think I know how to do that. I probably have to come to your class. You know, one of the, it's so interesting that you do this because it's sort of on a humorous side. One of the complaints that my grown kids have, and they hear this from their younger friends, that, you know, high school and college age friends, that one of the problems with Facebook now is it's getting so populated with old people that they're wanting to pull away and do something else. But
exactly.
And so you're responsible for this.
Yes, no, exactly. I mean, well, you know, it's not cool for young kids anymore. It still is. I mean, there's billions of people on Facebook. So it's very popular. Some of the seniors are very skeptical, though, of Facebook, actually. Some of them really embrace it. Others are very skeptical of it. So sometimes you have to sort of they've heard a lot of negative things about Facebook. So you have to overcome that. But once they get engaged and once they start adding friends and they see what they can see, it's actually a lot of fun for them. But Facebook is actually a pretty overwhelming app as well. And teaching them how to use it, just the basics, is very important because there is a lot to that app.
I want to tell you a funny story. My mom had called us over the weekend. She had accidentally liked something on Facebook she didn't want to like, you know, because for whatever reason, she just didn't want her name associated with it. But she meant to look at it, and somehow she clicked the like button, you know, and it was like, how do I unlike that? I actually didn't know. And so my wife happened to be on the phone with my daughter at the time, and she told her how to do it, how to unlike that thing. You know, click it again to unlike it. But again, those are little things about Facebook. I try not to spend too much time on Facebook, but I'm on it enough to know how to do, and I would sort of figure that out, I guess. But again, I've never liked anything I didn't mean to like, so I've never gone through that process. But again, it's so interesting that this is a problem for my mom. to do that, it just, again, I think it kind of backs up your whole situation. What about Twitter? Is Twitter a thing for senior adults?
No, we have not done any type of Twitter class. Okay. However, we're going to be. I have about 14 volunteer curriculum writers, and one of the curriculum that we will be writing and putting together is just a social media basics class where they understand what social media is and the different types of social media out there. Every once in a while, we get questions, what's a hashtag? And trying to explain what a hashtag is and what Twitter is not simple. So
no, it's not.
It's not. It's not easy really to describe what Facebook is to seniors. So we do not get into Twitter. I typically steer them away from it.
But you do, apparently you have been dealing a lot with what is now very popular on smartphones and all phones, which is texting. I don't know. You probably have the same experience I do. I know for our daughters who are, we're talking about grown women with children here, we can't ever get them to answer their phone, but we can send them a text and it's an instant response back.
Text messaging, and that's what we tell the seniors, is text messaging is very important. Learn it. While you'd probably love to talk to your daughter on the phone, she might not have the time, and she's much more apt to respond with a text message to a question than she will be to pick up the phone. I know I am that way, and I've told my mother that.
I confess that I'm that way, too, because it is quick. Like, you just say, yes, no, you don't have to, all the pleasantries of conversation and so forth. It's going to take a while.
Yeah. And with certain people, you know, it's not a 2-minute conversation. It's going to be 30 minutes.
Exactly. Well, I want to talk more with you about this. It's really kind of fascinating, I think. I want to ask you a little later on, I want to ask you about the what seniors or what you tell them about the security side of this, because that's one of the questions I think does come up, perhaps, when you're dealing with anybody on the web. Let me remind everyone that we are streaming live on biz1190.com, and today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com. And a surprise to me, technically, you can find us on iTunes and everywhere else if you go there, which is, I didn't know that until someone told me that once, and then turns out we're there as well. Again, we're here every Saturday morning on Driven to Business at 11 o'clock. We're here every week. We have great guests every week, like Jane Ratliff. And we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield, your host today, and our guest is Jane Ratliff with the Blue Hair Technology Group. You know, I have to go tell you before I go any further, I joke around, now that I am a senior adult, I can get away with this a lot more than I used to, but I joke around about, you know, blue hairs in the church and blue hairs here, blue hairs there, and it's not exactly an insult because I'm kidding around. But it's not exactly politically correct either. How do you get away with that?
That's interesting. Well, you know, when I first came up with the name, actually, I had a couple people, we sort of brainstormed and we came up with Blue Hair Technology Group.
I think it's a great name.
It is a great name. I did not come up with it. Someone said it. I said, that's it. I just thought it was, there's a fun part of it. You know, it's fun. It's for people who are able to sort of laugh at themselves.
Right.
Now, I have had a couple people who think it's insulting, but the majority of people love it. And what's also important is that it's memorable. You know, someone says, here's Blue Hair Technology Group. You know, it's somewhat descriptive as well. You sort of understand what we're doing, older people and technology. So, and I've had a lot of real positive things, like you said, and from other people, they like it. It's sort of, you know, it sort of tells them a little bit about me that I'm able to get out there and just do something that's a little bit, you know, not normal. It's not average.
I think it makes you sound approachable, honestly, to me.
Oh, great.
I think it's what it sounds like. Yeah, I think it sounds really good. Hey, you've had a great business background long before you founded Blue Hair Technology. Tell us about that.
Yes, I've had a varied background. I actually graduated with an elementary education degree.
Oh, wow.
But never used it. Although you probably could say that I'm using an education degree now.
Yes, you are.
I started with AT&T in the mid-80s up in Basking Ridge, New Jersey, right before divestiture. Judge Green came in and divested the companies. I actually started with AT&T in the very beginning of cellular when they were buying the cell towers in early 80s. And with the divestiture, Judge Green broke up the phone company and said the mobile divisions will go to the regional operating company. So I came down here with Bell South Mobility. If people were here in the mid-80s, they'll remember that. I worked at Mobility. I was in accounts payable early on, and then I was in benefits management. Then I I stayed with the Bell System for a long time. I was a systems analyst, database analyst. I was a marketing analyst, and I was director over customer retention. That was a big job. I held that for a while at Singular Wireless, which was Singular was after Bell South Mobility. And I used data a lot, which people probably didn't realize. I got into systems a lot, especially with customer retention. We had to do a lot of analytics of customer information to understand which customers want to leave and then be able to then develop creative content to target them so they wouldn't. I worked on the Singular Wireless website. I also then went to Cox Enterprises for a while and worked at Manheim Auctions. And I was a sales trainer, and I actually trained all the salespeople how to work and use their sales management system, which salespeople never liked to put anything into a sales management system. So I've done a lot of different things.
Well, I think it suited you well. The idea you were working with data and things, you know, the term now is big data, which can have negative or positive connotations depending on your point of view. I was telling one of my friends this morning about your organization. I was going to be talking with you. And he said, well, I hope in addition to teaching them how to use a computer, she's warning them about security risks on there. Talk to us about that.
That's actually a very timely question because we're in the process of rewriting curriculum, as you can imagine.
Right.
Every quarter you have to rewrite curriculum. And while we talk about security in all of our courses, we don't have a specific course on security and safety. And I have an instructional designer who's right now putting together a very comprehensive class that would probably be a 2-hour class just to come in and learn about it. But what we do, especially on Facebook, number one, we always talk to them about their privacy settings and how they can personalize it and customize it. On the iPad and on the iPhone, luckily, with emails, you're not going to get viruses and you're not going to get all those challenges and problems like you do on a computer. When we do a very little, we teach them how to search the internet. We don't specifically show them how to shop, but we always tell them, making sure that they're going to the Amazon website, that they all have security when they put the credit cards in. But that really lends itself to, it's important to do that. So we will be focusing very much on teaching them about scams and just being aware. Don't click on things. I mean, the worst thing that happens with seniors now in their laptops is that they click on something that looks legit, and then they get malware or a virus on their computer. It's
really bad. We have probably all done that at one
Absolutely.
Time or another and learned the hard way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I don't click on if I got an email from you, and it was just a link on there, and the verbiage around it didn't sound like you, I'm either going to send you an email and say, did you send me this? Or I'm not going to click on it. I just learned not to do that.
It's awful. My father has done it a lot, and it's very deceiving. And probably one of the reasons that I really advocate for seniors, especially if they've never used technology, is not to get a laptop. Get a tablet, even though, an iPad or an Apple device is really, in my opinion, the best, and it's the easiest to use compared to some of the Android tablets. But you're just not going to have... Windows is complicated, and you can really mess up your operating system.
That's interesting. We won't have time possibly to completely discuss this before the break, but I just finished reading a book I was telling you during the break by a guy named Patrick Tucker. He wrote a book called The Naked Future, and while that may sound like a nudist camp guide or something, it's really not. He's talking about the idea of as we all become more and more entrenched in technology, or our lives become entrenched. He named a couple of companies. I can't even think of their names right now. In fact, he says in the book, You've probably never heard of this company, and you name some company I had never heard of, but be assured they've heard of you because they have a database on 500 million people, and they have an average of 1,500 data points on every one of those 500 million people, and you're in there, and they know a lot about you. They know things about you you would have no idea they know about you. And the idea that we are somehow moving into a more, in terms of privacy, we're becoming more and more naked out there, and you can embrace this. I was actually thinking about, I went on a mission trip a few years ago to the country of Mali and slept on the ground in a small in a couple of small villages there, and I'd never done this before. One of the things I noticed in a village, there is no privacy in those villages. I mean, if you get up at night to go to the bathroom, everybody knows this. And if you're having a fight, if you're living here and having a fight with your wife, everyone knows this. And if you're sick, everyone knows this. And if you're lazy, everyone knows this. I mean, it's complete. It's an open, transparent, naked society in that regard. And he actually uses that, not Mali particularly, but the idea of a village as technically what future is going to probably look like, is we're going to look more and more naked. And his, I guess the point is we can either bemoan that and just be terrified by, and there are reasons to be terrified about that. But I think you would agree with me on this. You've been in technology for a long time. Technological advances seldom go back in the box once we take them out. And so we're going to learn to live with them.
Exactly. I don't think most people realize how much Big Brother is out there knows what we're doing.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's the frightening part of it. I mean, there's a side of it that's good. Like, for instance, in terms of health, if I can get instant feedback and saying, hey, Eddie, eating this is taking 6 months off your life. Well, maybe I don't eat that, you know, or something. But on the other hand, having people know where you are all the time is a bit frightening. And the idea that someone could abuse that is certainly out there. And I think that's part of it. I'd like to talk to you a little more about that after the break. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're glad you're here, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Our guest today is Jane Ratliff. Jane, we were talking during the break about this big data, and it's all around us, and the bad of it and the good of it. But you were mentioning about health apps that are out there, which are beginning to proliferate, really.
Yes. I enjoy health, fitness, and things like that. So I'm really excited about it. And I think for seniors, it's so important, and older seniors, to really engage in fitness activities, whether it's just walking, strength training, etc. And I believe that part of motivating people to want to do this is to be able to see how they're improving. And Apple's coming out with new health and fitness apps in their next release. There's going to be several of them. I'm not privy to what they are at this point, but there's going to be, I mean, even today, your iPad, if you wanted to take it on a, excuse me, your iPhone, if you wanted to take it on a walk with you, it would count your steps.
Right.
So there's a pedometer right inside of that. But just being able to compete with friends as far as how much you walked this day, how much I walked that day, being able to keep track of what you're eating, being able to keep track of, I've heard about hydration apps and things like that. The ability to be able to use apps to keep track of your health and your fitness and be able to get feedback with, there's going to be things with diabetics. There's just a lot of apps that are starting to come out that are really going to help seniors keep track of it and stay motivated to do better so that they're healthier.
I think I was kidding around with you during the break and saying one of the downsides of those apps is when you're in a restaurant with your daughter and she says, you know, Dad, do you know how many calories are in that thing you're eating right there? Because she just looked it up.
Exactly.
On her.
You just have to look it right up.
Actually pulls up the restaurant and the menu item.
Yep.
And you're like, put that away for this.
I want to enjoy it.
But, you know, you've been in marketing and in web design and in customer retention and all those sorts of things. And you know, I own a business, Electronic Maintenance Associates, EMA, and we are, of course, interested in all that as well. I always view this tech, there are obviously downsides, as we mentioned before, there's privacy downsides to this. There are upsides to those of us in business, even from a marketing and even from a consumer standpoint. I don't know, Jane, but I like it when I go to Amazon and they put up book recommendations I'm actually interested in, instead of something like a romance novel that I have no interest in whatsoever. They know my reading habits, and so they put up things that I'm usually pretty interested in. Like, well, that's interesting to take a look at that. And, you know, we're moving toward that I have a friend that works for a division of AT&T that is helping to – they're working toward where we're going to be in your homes, where when you are sitting in front of your television set, you're going to see ads that are geared to you, not geared to the mass public, geared to whatever demographic you're part of, based on your buying habits and your surfing habits and where you go habits and all that. And so – in a way, I would rather see a commercial of something I might actually be interested in than something I have no interest in at all. And so I see, and then, of course, from the business owner side of that, that's great because you can target your marketing money on people that actually are interested. And one of the most interesting stories I've heard recently is, and you may have heard of this, J.C. I think it was, I started to say J.C. Penney, but I think it was not, I think it was, I can't remember. Let's say JCPenney because that's the only name that comes to mind right now. But they had done a study. You know, what they really, these department stores really want is a young pregnant lady. That is like the gold mine of department stores, you know, because they're going to buy all kinds of things for a long time. So they found that people were offended if you ask, "Are you pregnant?" That's like, you can't, that's none of your business kind of thing. So they began to come up with algorithms about what do pregnant women buy. And some of it was things you would never think about. I mean, you know, it's not just pregnancy supplies. It's just all sorts of things. And they came up with a pretty good algorithm, and it became very quite accurate. And there was a story that this guy called a manager of the store and said, you know, you're sending my daughter pregnancy-type advertisements, and, you know, I don't – like that, and you need to knock it off. And the guy, of course, apologized and said, "I'm sorry, that was a big mistake. We won't do that again." And they stopped it. And then some months later, a bigger shot there at the store going through these customer complaints saw this and thought, "Let's make sure this has been stopped." So he actually called the customer and said, "Hey, I want to make sure I got a handle." The guy said, "Well, funny thing, while she was pregnant, the algorithm knew." But again,
it's predictive modeling. We did that when I was at Singular Wireless, looking at customer information to predict if someone's about to leave you as a customer,
right?
Because their phone habits change,
right?
Yep.
Well, that's are you a person that's been in technology for a long time? Does any of this, all these changes, that these massive changes have taken place, does it shock you and surprise you? I sometimes look at it and it just amazes me when I look back a few years. It just astonishes me.
Well, what astonishes me is how rapid.
Yeah.
It's how rapid it is. And if you can look and say, gosh, that was rapid. Look what's happened since the iPad was introduced. I think there's more that happens that you can't even see.
Right.
And I think my father's always concerned about, well, what happens after you teach all the seniors how to use the iPad and the iPhone? You're going to be out of business. And I'm like, I don't think so.
No.
Because we don't know what the next technology disruptor is going to be. We don't know what the next thing is. And there's always going to be a generation. The older generation, I think, will always be behind because they don't adapt as easily.
Right.
They don't learn as quickly. So there'll always be opportunities to keep people engaged and up to speed on what's going on with technology that enhances their life. It's really enhances their life.
You know, I heard a guy say one time that he had said to his teenage boy, he said, "You know, son, you sound like a broken record." And he had said that several times. And the kid finally said, "What are you talking about?" The kid had never seen
a record. I heard that too. I don't know if you've seen, there's a YouTube video out there where they've taken young children, I'd say maybe from age 6 to 10, and they put an old phone in front of them. And, you know, an old phone with a cradle on it.
Right.
And they say, "What is this?" And it's very interesting to observe the kids. Number one, don't know what it is. Then they ask them, would you make a call on that? What are the different tones? You know, they have the ringtone tone, and they're like, I don't know what that is. And the busy signal,
right,
and all the tones that they've never heard. And it's very interesting.
Or in Canada the other day, I saw the first payphone booth I've seen in a I don't know. I don't think our grandkids would know what those were.
Exactly.
You know, I was kidding the guy the other day. So, you know, nowadays, where would Superman change clothes? I don't know. You know, there's no place to go do that. You know, many of us have aging parents, and we're naturally concerned. And you talk a lot on your website about that. And of course, that's how you founded your company. And you had linked on your website to a Huffington Post article, actually, about a number of little technologies that are available for elderly parents. Talk to us a little bit about that, just in general.
Yeah, well, the whole area, it's called assistive technology. And I'm only on the fringes of that and only hear about some of the technology that's being developed. But there is one of the big things that is happening is that there's this aging in place initiative, or how do we, because a lot of seniors want to stay in their homes for as long as possible. They don't want to go into independent living communities and places like that. Although those places are very nice. There's many that are really nice. So they are actually developing technology that will allow caregivers to ensure that whoever's at home alone is actually doing okay. So in the morning, if there's no movement in the house, you have movement sensors in the house. If there's no movement in the house, an alarm goes off to like a child. I just talked to a woman who's very engaged in it, talking about medication dispensers. So every Sunday night, my mother counts through her medication. I mean, you just take medication when you're old. So she has to do her Monday through Sunday pills, and she dispenses them all out, where they're coming out with, you know, those little K-cups? It almost looks like a K-cup that's filled with your medication for the week. You put it into a machine, almost like the pharmacies have, and then every day you push a button, and it dispenses whatever amount, what medication you're supposed to take at that specific time. There's motion sensors that you know, as mom opening the refrigerator. Just different types of technology that is going to, you know, is mom, are they doing what they're supposed to do? Is there activity happening in the house? There's just a lot of technology. It's a huge field that's going to allow people to stay in their homes longer.
That is a great benefit, I think, that make people stay in their homes longer and more comfortable, and their families feel better about them being there from the age of this. You know, that medicine thing, my wife, I tell you, I don't take that much medicine, but my wife puts a little, she fills up this little thing that I have to click every night, and I, you know, I have no idea what I'm taking. So I've always told the kids, if I end up dead under mysterious circumstances, check that, go get that thing out and check it, because I've been poisoned. I would just take it and not know the difference, but to keep doing that. On the other side of this coin here, we all know people that seem to spend too much time on Facebook, and it's almost an addiction, or it appears to me. Is that an issue with seniors or not?
It is not that I've seen. No, first of all, they're leery of it. Right. A lot of them are leery of it, and they don't understand it enough to really understand. I think just to get in there, that, I mean, just even posting a status update sometimes is challenging to them. So, and they're always aware of the people that are crazy people that are just always constantly updating what's going on, and they want to make sure they're not that person. So no, I'd say most of the seniors are more voyeurs. They mostly go out there to look at the pictures.
That is my parents. I used to say that's what they do.
That's mostly what they want.
They pretty much know what's going on Facebook. Yes. They rarely post anything.
Very. My mother will do the like button. That's easy for her. Sometimes she makes comments because we told her it was important to interact with people. But not a whole lot. Most of them are just interested in seeing the pictures.
I think you're right. People put pictures out there and do that. I do think that we have some friends that, honestly, I would stop short of saying they're addicted to it, but they really are on there all the time. And like this, they can't do anything. I caught myself. I had a friend named Eric, and I was one beautiful fall afternoon, I was sitting on the front porch, and I just made a comment on Facebook about, I'm sitting on my front porch swinging so nice, I hear it. He came back and said, yep, and updating Facebook just like in the old days. I said, let's just make you think about what you're doing here. Got one more segment to go. You're a great guest. I appreciate you hanging around here today. You're listening to Driven to Business. There's one more segment to go, so stick around. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the final segment of Driven to Business. Let me remind you that we are streaming live on biz1190.com. Today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com, and you will see Jane Ratliff's links to her company and so forth right there, Blue Hair Technology Group. So go there and check us out, and we're glad you're here for the final segment. Jane, your business career before you got into this was not nonprofit. Was there a big swap going over to nonprofit type business? Was it a big change?
Yes. The biggest thing is, as a nonprofit, you have to get grants and you need to fundraise and you sponsorships and all that stuff. And that, you know, that is not something that I have done before. So I'm working with great volunteers. I actually have about 250 volunteers that help during our workshops, which is phenomenal. And working with them, helping me get out there and raise money. But that's the big challenge, actually. But I really believe that the nonprofit was important because there are so many seniors out there, and I believe all of them need to be able to have access to cost-effective workshops, education that gets them engaged with technology, gets them over the fear of technology, and gets them to be able to contribute. I mean, I was just talking to a woman the other day who said she can't, they're being forced into it. There's just, you can't do things the old-fashioned way anymore. Right. You're being forced to use the internet. She wanted to donate somewhere, and she was forced to go to a website to do it, and she said she just didn't know how to do it.
That's a good point. You know, we had a friend from Germany come here several years ago and stay with us, and she had an interesting comment to me. She's here in Atlanta on the freeways and everything we have here, and she said, it must be very hard to get old in the United States. I never thought about it in those terms, because she said, you know, in the little village, the little town I live in Germany, you can walk to a store, and you can walk to here, and you can walk to there, but here, you have to drive everywhere on very busy streets. And she said, it must be very hard to get. And I think in a way, what you're doing is enabling some of these seniors to, in effect, get out of their house, if not
through technology.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's actually one of the things that we have in our brochure, but it's a great graph that it's a simple graph. It just depicts decline in mobility. And you see, when mobility declines, you see an increase in isolation,
yes,
depression, and loneliness. They're not able to get to church. They're not able to get out and see their friends. They're not able to just do what they used to do. And technology does bridge that gap. It allows them to, you know, maybe see their friends with a FaceTime call, be able to listen to their church service, to listen to music of their youth. So it's... It is very important. And just to mention, you know, you're familiar with Uber, right?
Yes.
There is actually going to be an Uber-like service that's being launched soon. My friend will be happy, Bob Carr will be happy I'm mentioning this, but they're actually looking at it as a nonprofit with Uber to be able to transport seniors to, you know, so using that Uber service.
Right.
For seniors to be able to get to doctor's appointments and being able to get to various places, which I think is a wonderful thing, because we do not have the transportation infrastructure, and believe me, as the seniors become a huge majority of the population in Atlanta, we're going to see a big issue with seniors trying to get around with the current transportation system that we have.
My wife and I talk about this. I'm of a baby boomer generation, and you know, and I'm a few years away from that being an issue, but it's probably in the future for us. And so I think the more that we do this, you know, I was thinking while you were talking earlier about how that seniors are slow to embrace technology. I remember my granddad telling me about when telephones, and these are party lines, of course, first came to North Alabama where he lived, and how that a lot of them thought it was very rude to call somebody at their house and to talk to them. That was just for emergencies. Like the thought was, if you don't care enough about somebody to go over their house and talk to them, well, then just don't talk. I mean, you know, it's just interesting how technology is always negatively perceived in the beginning. And then it becomes just part and parcel of your life. And for better or worse, we all end up depending. It would, like in our business right now, I can't imagine running our business without the internet and without the technology we have now. I don't know how we would do it. people in the past years did, but we would have to, it would change everything in the way that we do things. And I think probably in the area that you're in the idea of seniors staying home, and I am struck by that chart, the idea that seniors can become more isolated and more depressed, and you do see that. And it's a great thing that what you're doing teaches them to use these simple tools that sort of at least broadens their world a bit and allows them to talk and look at their kids' pictures and look at their see what their friends are up to. They can't really see anymore.
Absolutely. And it also, I've had some students tell me that it's inspirational. It gives them something.
Right.
It gives them something to learn. It's inspirational, something that's just very new to them. And learning, that constant learning is very important.
Let me just ask you this, Ralph. What's your favorite iPhone app? Do you have one?
Let me think. My favorite iPhone app. Probably Facebook, which sounds awful. I wouldn't say there's several of them. Probably I would say Facebook I go to regularly. I'm trying to think if there is an interesting one. I don't have one. Do you have one?
I did one recently that I think is so. I like looking at stars and stuff. And there's an iPhone app, and it's about $3 or something. And you can go outside at night and like point at the sky, and it tells you constellations and what stars where. And like you go out on a beautiful night, and there's Mars and there's Venus and.
No, I've seen that one. I did it on my iPad. I have it on my iPad. I can't remember what it's called. That is pretty cool.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing you're talking about iPads, I mentioned to you, I just got back from an Alaskan cruise. I'm out there snapping pictures with my iPhone. So many people were out there, like at the glaciers and so forth, and they got their iPads up in the air, and they're videoing the glacier with their iPads.
That's good, though.
It's
good
great.
For them.
It's great pictures.
Listen, those iPhone pictures, any smartphones now, really, I mean, the cameras, the only types of cameras really now out there that are being purchased, I think, are the much, much more expensive digital cameras. They've pretty much done away with, people aren't buying little cameras anymore.
Hey, before I let you go, what give us your website.
www.bluehairtech, that's T-E-C-H, .org.
Bluehairtech.org, remember that. What's the future plans for Blue Tech in about a minute here?
Oh, boy. We've got lots of plans. Well, we're rewriting all of our curriculum. We will be expanding into more communities in the Atlanta area. And we're planning to go to other states as well. So we're just growing and getting out there. And so teaching seniors, there's plenty of them out there. So that's what we're doing.
I am no genius marketer or business guru. I don't mean to say that. But I will say that the name and the idea of what you're doing has what I would call some marketing snap. I mean, it immediately is interesting. And a few people I've told about it immediately go, it's a good idea. I mean, just it has some sticking power, I think.
Great. Thank you very much.
Hit on a great deal there. In about 30 seconds here, what's the most fun thing about running Blue Hair?
Oh, boy. The most fun is teaching, when I get to go out there and teach the seniors and having the seniors laugh and smile and get it and come up to you afterwards and say, this has been the best class ever. Or having them go to the Maps app and being able to look up their childhood home on the Map app.
Cool.
And being able to see it from the satellite view and actually see the house that they grew up in.
Right, quick. We if you go to the Google, I didn't know this when my friends told me, if you go to the Google Street View deal and you look at it, I showed my wife this, it shows my wife and granddaughter in the yard.
It does. That's awesome.
That's pretty scary. Both awesome and kind of scary. You've been a great guest. Thank you so much for...
Thank you. This has been awesome. Really
here,
appreciate
here today.
It.
I can see why. I think, as energetic and as fun as you are, I think the seniors would love coming to your class. And I'd already mentioned to you, I hope we're going to have you at our church. And
great.
And I think a lot of other people listening will have you out there. You've been listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're here every week at 11 o'clock right here on WAFS, Atlanta's Biz 1190. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.